You're listening to the Franchise Podcast Network, presented by Lucky Star Casino. KRXO FM and KRXO HD Oklahoma City, a product of Tyler Media, reaching over 1 million Oklahomans every week. Now, the Outdoor Hour, giving you the inside scoop on the great outdoors on 107.7 The Franchise.
As long as I can remember, I've been drawn to the outdoors. There's something primal in each of us that awakens when we step outside the bounds of modern society and back into the vast possibilities of the natural world. The more civilized our lives become, the louder our hearts cry for reconnection with our native ways. Failure is imminent, dangers drawing nigh, but approached with reverence and tact, the outdoors return wisdom and gain. In both the outdoors and in life, harvests are fleeting, but lessons and memories abound. With that in mind, we step forth boldly together in pursuit of ourselves outdoors. We are nothing more than tree stand troubadours. Welcome inside the Outdoor Hour this week. We got a great show lined up for you with a very special guest that I am excited to introduce in just a moment. We've teased this episode a few times over the last couple of weeks if you've been listening to the Outdoor Hour. Maddie, I got to ask you before we dive in here.
Yes.
We got a, it appears to be a candlelit vigil happening in the studio.
Yes. I'm a man of my word. The last time he said he wasn't going to be here, I said, I'm going to bring a candle and we're going to have the Joshua Wildman Stratton Memorial Candle in the studio. And Goldfish is a man of his fin. And I brought a dang candle, and it's lit.
When Goldfish shakes fins, dang it,
yes.
He means it.
And I'm never going to turn down a joke as stupid or elaborate as it tends to be.
Well, we are missing Joshua Wildman Stratton this week, but in his honor, we've got a nice little candle. It's a great touch. Thank you.
No problem.
Thinking about Josh. He's on vacation. He's fine.
Blow that candle out.
He's doing better than all of us. He's actually out in Idaho on a drift boat as we speak.
That is quite fantastic.
Yeah. Well, this is the Outdoor Hour. My name is Taylor Maples. I just shot a bear.
I did.
That's fantastic.
That took me like 5.5-6 hours to make.
That is fantastic.
That 4 seconds.
I love it.
Thank you.
That was a vibe.
Thank you.
Yeah. So our guest is staring at us like we're absolutely insane.
We
Goldfish
are.
Likes to do some editing in his spare time. He does the overnights here at Tyler Media. So he's got a lot of alone time when nobody else is in the building. And we'll go through and clip different pieces of the show for our intro videos. So can we hit that one again? I love it. I'm Taylor Maples. I just shot a bear.
I did.
That's fantastic. The mastermind behind the glass, the one and only Goldfish.
Always baked and extra cheesy.
I love
the Goldfish.
Always baked and extra cheesy.
That's right.
I love it. Our guest this week is the one and only Brett Lowry from Trout Boat Captain. The Trout Boat Captain. The original Trout Boat Captain. Man, I'm glad you're here. We've been talking about doing this for a few weeks. I first got introduced to you through a buddy of mine that guides out of Flippin, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Our listeners know that I've recently bought a project boat, is probably the polite way to say it.
Yeah.
Old 1995 Klacka craft.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I knew about this boat is that the rower's bench was cracked. There were some places on the boat that just needed some love. And actually, when I bought this boat from my buddy Dustin, he said, hey, there's actually a guy out in Oklahoma City that you need to take this to. He does amazing work. And that endorsement meant a lot to me. Then I found you on social media. I learned a little bit more about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I now have the boat back. I've now rowed the boat. We can talk a little bit more specifically throughout the show about what you do and what you have done for me. But, man, welcome.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you get into doing this?
Well, it was a deal where I have a boat, I row a boat, I know other people that had boats, guides and friends of mine, and everybody that I knew had some, they're either sitting on top of a cooler rowing a boat or they were sitting on some jimmy-rigged setup with, you know, just a chair screwed through a cooler top or something like that. And nobody's comfortable. Nobody's in a good position to row their boat. And everybody's just doing whatever was easiest for them. And so I was talking to my friend Steve, who's also a guy out in Flippin, Arkansas. Steve's one of the proprietors of the White River Trout Club, which is an excellent place that
awesome.
I highly recommend, by the way, that anybody that goes over the White River stay there. It's a great place.
Yeah.
But Steve and I were talking, and we were like, God, this has got to be better. There's guys that have a two by four screwed to the bottom of their cooler. There's guys that are sitting on a lawn chair in their boat. You kind of have to see some of these setups to understand how everybody's kind of just doing the best they can with what they have. So I had some had carpentry experience, and I was like, I think I can make something that can be better than this. Let me go home and put something together. And so I started making some prototypes of benches that really kind of mimic an old style drift boat rower's bench that would mount to the top of a cooler and allow you to still use your cooler as your seat, but not have to be sitting on a chair just screwed to a cooler lid, which, number one, is always going to be flimsy. Number two, destroys a cooler. And number three is just, I've never seen one that I was like, man, that looks really nice. And so I made several different iterations of it, took them out to Steve. I had them on my boats, and I was trying stuff. He was trying stuff. I gave a couple other ones out to people to try. And after, you know, five or six different iterations, I came up with the basic style, which is called my box model and my rafter model row bench. And I've made some improvements on it over the last year. And the first ones that I started putting out were not exactly like the ones they are now, but they're pretty close. And so the basic idea is that we have a wooden bench, and it's, I had somebody refer to it recently in a boat that I made a big bench for, like the one I made for you, as a piece of furniture. And that really is kind of what it is. And so they mount through the lid of a cooler. They have a chair stably mounted to the bench. And then it gives you, and then that's mounted through the lid of the cooler. And it gives you a place for a guide or a person rowing a boat to have some personal items and some things that you use regularly right at hand's reach instead of down in bags on the floor or in a tackle box. Because it's important when you're rowing a boat to keep your eye on the river and not be looking down around you. And it is an important thing. So the more things that I think you have right at your hand's reach, the safer you're going to be, and the more you can focus on what you're doing, which is rowing a boat for people fishing.
How long have you been rowing boats?
Probably 5 or 6 years.
What did you start with for
I started boats? With a raft.
Okay.
And before that, I'd just been in bass boats and yeah. things like that.
Yeah.
And I started in a raft, and then I went to another raft, and then I had another raft, and it was just a deal where I went medium-sized first, and then I was like, oh, this is, I want a bigger boat. And then I got a bigger boat. And then I was like, oh, I like this boat, but now I want a smaller boat. And so I ended up with a big boat and a small boat. And now I've sold that big boat and just have the small raft. So I have a little two-man raft that I use for creeks around town. I live right on the Deep Fork River, and I will take that thing in the Deep Fork.
Really?
Or take it into other creeks. And then it's a backup boat. If somebody wants to go fishing, we have a group of four or five, and I can bring a second boat. And if somebody knows how to row, they can row that boat. But I primarily work out of my drift boat now. And then I have a White River style John Jet, which they refer to as a trout boat, which is where the name Trout Boat Captain comes from.
So I'm glad you called that the White River trout boat, because I've not seen anything like that anywhere else. And I've only been going to the White since September. Mm-hmm. I've made about 10 trips out there since September. Mm-hmm. I'm totally ate up with that area. But the boats that they're running out there, they're long boats.
Yeah.
But they're kind of unlike anything I've seen anywhere else.
Yep. It's a John. I mean, it's a John boat.
Okay.
And traditionally over there, they're fiberglass. I don't know the entire history of them, but when I bought my first boat, I bought an aluminum one rather than a fiberglass one, just because I personally am wanting a more versatile boat, and the rivers in Oklahoma that I use it on are shallower, have less consistent flows than the White. So the Illinois River, the Grand River, in the Arkansas River, the Elk River, I just felt it was a better choice for me to have an aluminum boat than a fiberglass boat, because the White has reliable flows. They have a fairly reliable schedule of when the flows are going to be as they say they are. And so I think a glass boat is a little safer over there, but
yeah.
I just wanted to have an aluminum boat. So I bought a brand called Double X that are made in Flippin. And the owner of the company, I remember asking him, I was like, what would be the best color for me to get for resale value? And he said that would be seafoam green. He said when the boats first started over here, there was one mold and they were all green. And he said it used to be you'd come out here and every boat on this river was green. And that's how the boats at you still see some of those old green boats on the river.
Yeah.
And but I thought that was kind of interesting. So at one point there was probably one person who invented that mold or built that first mold, and then people would make copies of that mold. And the boats gradually got bigger and bigger, and the molds got more elaborate and more sophisticated. And now there's really probably – there's a lot of boat makers, but I'd say the three primary main boat makers over there are Shawnee Supreme,
mm-hmm.
Topwater, and Double X now.
Okay.
And Double X makes an aluminum boat, and Topwater and Shawnee Supreme make a glass boat.
I feel like the Shawnee Supremes I see a lot of, because it seems like a lot of the resorts out there have those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to see the Trout Club is kind of down around that corner, you know, if I'm mm-hmm. looking at it from the Gaston's perspective.
Yep.
Stetson's.
Yeah, Stetson's.
That's
yeah.
what I'm thinking of right there on the point. I think they all have those Shawnee.
Yeah, and so do the – there's a bunch of those resorts. They use those boats. Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's the history of the green boat, though. That's really interesting. They are all over the place out there.
Yeah, and they're all those boats are basically a modernization or elaboration of that original boat design, from is what my understanding is. So,
that's cool. And then tell me about the jet engines, because that's kind of unique. Again, I don't have a ton of boat background, mm-hmm. But I'd not run across those before I was on the White either.
Right. There's a lot of people that run jets and John boats. It's a pretty common thing, for skinny or super shallow water. There's lots of guys in Texas that run them. There's people all over the country that run jets, but I think the jet for trout fishing is fairly unique to the White River. I mean, there's some rivers out east, the South Holston, I think there's guys that run them over there, and there's some guys that run on some of the Tennessee and Virginia tailwaters and stuff. But out west, they're starting to catch on, but like in Montana and Wyoming and stuff, I think they're still kind of frowned upon. People feel that having a motor in the pristine rivers out there is not okay.
Yeah.
But I think they're starting to gradually catch on, and people are seeing how useful they are. And, you know, you can – what's so great about it is that you can hit a run, and you can turn around and you can go do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't do that in – and it doesn't have to be a jet, but you just can't do that with a trolling motor in a river with a lot of current, and it's too hard to row back up and hit extensive runs again. So you can – you're familiar with the white, and you can go from Stetson's to White Hole and turn around and do the whole thing, run up the river in 5 minutes and do it again.
Yeah.
And that's what those guys do over there. They get in a carousel where there's three or four boats, and they're just doing the same thing over and over again. And that way they can hit all the parts of that run. They can do the left side and the right side, and they can move out and do the middle of the river, and you can really cover a lot more ground. And it also makes it where you can have that going on in a bunch of different locations on the river.
Right. Josh and I talked last week about fishing with guides, and he actually shocked me because he has so much extensive fishing experience, and he worked as a guide for years and years, that it shocked me to hear him say that he will always fish with a guide he goes. And that was just surprising to me. But one of his reasonings for that is, you know, obviously they know today where the fish are and, and kind of what the conditions are. But they also are able to pick that section of river apart in a different way. And that's something I miss in the drift boat, right?
Yep.
I love the drifter just for where I'm at in life with my family and my level of skill and seriousness of trying to fish. But, you know, to be able to sit just beneath the state park on the White or around Kane Island and just pick different pieces of this river apart and recycle them, that's something that I'm not able to do just back rowing sure.
Yeah. And, you know, there's – the White is a special place, and the – and I really think to be a guide over there, you got to have a jet boat.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have a prop, it's fine, but you got to have a boat with a motor. You just can't – the river's so big, you just can't get to the spots that are good every day.
Yep.
And you got to be able to move. You got to be able to go to the North Fork if you need to. You got to be able to go to lower parts of the river. You know, you can't just be going to the dam every day because there's times of the year where that area closes.
Right.
And, you know, so – and they're long shuttles, and you don't need a shuttle when you got a motor.
And I think that's the other thing that I'm learning in the drifter is, you know, I'm running the dam to Gaston's and just looping that because it's such an easy shuttle.
Yeah.
I could get around a White Hole or the Trout Club, but, man, that adds 30 minutes to your shuttle time at least.
Yeah,
so,
each way.
Yeah. Hey, we got to squeeze in a break here. When we come back, I want to talk more about these trout boat captain benches that you're making. I want to pick your brain a little bit more on just fishing in general. You're obviously a very knowledgeable guy about the state and the surrounding areas. And I want to make you tell some stories, too.
Yeah.
So we'll do all that when we come back. Brett Lowry is our guest this week with Trout Boat Captain out of the Oklahoma City area. Check him out on social media. What's your social handles?
It is Trout Boat Captain, TROUTBOATCAPN. So that's what it is on Instagram. That's what it is on Facebook. And then the website is the same, www.troutboatcap'n.com.
Check out Brett Lowry, Trout Boat Cap'n, and we'll be back with him inside the Outdoor Hour after this on 107.7 The Franchise.
You're listening to the Outdoor Hour with your host Taylor Maples and Josh Stratton on 107.7 The Franchise.
Welcome back inside the Outdoor Hour. Taylor Maples, Maddie Goldfish. We are sans Joshua Wildman Stratton this week. He's on vacation, and I think he's actually in a drift boat right now, somewhere floating around McCall, Idaho. Have you been out west that way before, Brett?
Yeah. I haven't been to McCall, but the way I got into fishing was my dad started taking us on fly fishing trips every summer when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I got hooked on fly fishing when I was young, and I had my parents had a place up at Grand Lake, and we would go up there, and I never really enjoyed lake fishing or pond fishing and stuff like that. I always wanted to be, I was like, I'll fish when we're on a river, you know?
And yeah.
So we've been to Idaho and Montana and a lot to Colorado and New Mexico and the White. And my dad liked to try to take us somewhere different every summer. But there were some places that we went to a lot. We went to Lake City, Colorado, many times, which is near Gunnison. And there's a lot of different rivers around there, and we just liked the sports. It's a shop called the Sportsman's in Lake City, and we like to stay in there. It's beautiful. It's isolated, and that's kind of where I probably did most of the fishing when I was younger because we probably went there half the time. And we went, and then I spent a year of college in Gunnison and fished a lot there.
Western State,
Western
right?
Western State, yeah. And but of all the places I've been, you know, everything's different, but it's pretty hard to beat Montana and Idaho.
So Josh isn't here to laugh at me for this. He hates when I tell stories, by the way, mainly because he's heard all of them. But I was born in Boise, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
My earliest outdoor memories are along the Snake River in Idaho.
Yep.
And fly fishing was a big piece of, you know, my adolescence. And when I was a kid in the outdoors, I was the same way. I couldn't stand sitting on a lake with a bobber.
Yeah.
But, man, put a fly rod in my hand and I would work the same section of river for hours and hours and hours. And there's not many better ways, I think, to spend an afternoon outdoors than navigating a stream with a fly rod in my hand.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So Brett Lowry is our guest this week on the Outdoor Hour from Trout Boat Cap'n. Find him on social media. Trout Boat Cap'n is C-P-N.
C-A-P-N.
C-A-P-N.
Like Cap'n Crunch.
Like Cap'n Crunch. So Trout Boat, C-A-P-N. And we got hooked up because you built me a new rower's bench and swivel chair for my 30-year-old drift boat that I've recently acquired. And this bench and the seat on it has made this like a state-of-the-art piece of, you know, rowing equipment. You said furniture in the first segment. I think that's a great articulation. Really, what you do is art, man.
I appreciate that.
Your craftsmanship is incredible. I had seen a couple of these benches before out on the White River. I didn't really know what they were. I was shocked to learn that the guy that actually makes these is a one-man shop in his garage in the Oklahoma City area. They're very professional level of craftsmanship, and they're very, very functional. They're very customizable. I had an awesome experience working with you. I didn't know what I was looking for. I'm sure a lot of people that come to you for services know more specifically, here's what I want, here's the boat I have, here's the cooler I want it mounted on, et cetera. But mine's not even mounted on a cooler.
Nope.
You made mine to fit gunnel to gunnel there on what was an old, basically, dry box on this drift boat.
Yep. So everything we make is custom. And I say we, the royal we, I guess. It's there's so many different coolers out there that I can't, it can't not be custom. So, sure, I probably make more benches for Yeti 45s and Arctic 45s than anything, because those are probably the two most common coolers out there. And a lot of people just say, I have a Yeti or I have an Arctic. Can you make it for this? And I'm like, yeah, I know the sizes for that. But still, it ends up being custom because we offer custom touches on everything. If somebody has a guide service and they have a sticker for a logo, I'll put it underneath the epoxy. And so it's personalized. It shows their business's name on it, and people that are in their boat see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoy making these frame-mounted and gunnel-mounted benches. I've made a bunch of them for big rafts that go from span the whole frame and gives the person rowing the boat all the space right at, like I said, right at their hands. I made for a big guide service out in Utah. I made one for all of their boats. I've made a couple for guys with rafts locally that wanted a big bench that spanned their raft. I've sent some out to Utah Whitewater Gear, which is a big raft supply and rafting and fishing supplying place out in Salt Lake City area. And everybody has a specific size because every boat's different, you know. And you just give me your dimensions, send me some pictures. Maybe we have a phone conversation or two. And if I run into anything that is puzzling to me while I'm building it, not sure if this is going to work, I call you or I send you an email or a text with, here's some pictures of what I'm looking at. Confirm this for me. Or before I get too far here and I need to change something, I'm trying to make something that's going to work for that person.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really know what I needed.
Right.
Because when I dropped off my boat with you, I probably had 8 total hours on the sticks rowing a mm-hmm. drift boat.
Yep.
But you were endorsed by someone that I trusted. Mm-hmm. I'd seen your social media and I'd seen other people that were using your creation.
Mm-hmm.
So I had an idea of kind of what I was getting myself into. But, man, I probably had more questions than anybody you've ever worked with. I know I probably had more doubts than anybody you've ever worked with. You and I went back and forth many times over whether I wanted my chair to swivel or not.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was kind of a controversial position.
I think it's controversial to some people. And I think it's, you know, people get set in their ways and a lot of people feel like there's only one way to do things. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about somebody that disagrees with your idea.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to try super hard to convince people.
In today's world, like, people just don't change their mind very easily.
Right.
Right.
And so my dad used to always, and he still says it, but he says, try it, you'll like it, you know. And so I just tell people, try it, you'll like it. And if you don't like it, we can change it. And I like the swivel because I like to be able to move my whole body if I want to turn. And I don't want to twist at my hips, puts a strain on my back. And I like another thing about the bench is the bench on the cooler, it brings you to a higher seated position. And I like to be able to see the river better. I like to be able to not feel like I'm hidden behind the front angler or I'm having to look around them.
Yep.
Or dip from side to side. I like to be able to see. And so that's a major thing about the Trout Boat Captain bench is it brings you to, it's not a tremendous amount of height, but coming up 3 or 4 inches is, it doesn't look like much when you look at putting your fingers out, but it makes a huge difference in how good you can see the river. And personally, I like to have my knees below my hips. I don't like to be in the very traditional drift boat position, which is almost a crouched position.
Yeah. I think of like a catcher in baseball.
Yeah, it's almost like that. And I like to sit up higher. I think it's a better position for me and it's more comfortable for me. And when I started doing this, I was doing this for me.
Right.
And I was doing it for a friend that was also lamenting the same thing. And you know, he was like, oh, this is sweet. I think you got something here, you know. And so people started seeing his, and I started getting calls from people I didn't know of, hey, can you build me one of those ones like Steve has? Or I saw your webpage. Can you do this for this cooler? Or can you do it for this kind of boat? And I just say yes to everything, you know, and we can figure it out. And if I haven't had one situation where I've called the person and been like, I don't think I can do this. Because we can figure something out that can help you.
Yeah. I just think they're fascinating. And some of the pushback that I got about the swivel seat was, you know, maybe more geared towards Western style.
Well,
but even still, now that I've rowed several days in this boat, I don't think there's a situation that I really wouldn't want this chair.
Yeah, I agree.
It's tell me again, the chairs that you're using, they're Millennium seats.
Yeah, I'm a dealer for a brand called Millennium. Millennium makes tree stands, they make boat seats, they make stadium seats, but I'm a dealer for all of their products, but I particularly focus on two seats, which are their B200 row, which I call their row seat. It's not really a row seat.
Is it the one with the lower back got?
Yeah, it's a no back seat.
Yep.
And it's designed for being on a tall pedestal for guys on the front of a bass boat.
Sure.
To stand up and lean back when they're reeling stuff in.
Yeah.
They call it the casting seat.
That makes sense.
But it just is a fantastic rowing seat.
Yeah.
And I think that was an accidental thing.
Yeah.
And then I sell their B100 seat, which is their flip back seat, which I actually sell a lot of people when I'm selling them a bench. They're end up wanting to replace all the seats in their boat.
Sure.
And so I'll sell the B100 flip back seat to them, and they'll replace the other two or three seats in their boat.
Well, it's really cool, and I do like the swivel. I think the biggest concern that I was told by people that objected to it was in a drift boat, because they are so spinny to begin with, that there was concern if you're not rooted in that boat, there's an opportunity for you to be trying to change your ferry angle, and you know you're moving independently of the boat, and it's just overcomplicating thing.
Sure.
You had told me, and I agree with you now. First of all, it's not a big deal.
No,
right? Like,
your feet are on the ground.
Feet are on the ground. I'm rooting myself. When I'm rowing, I've got a Yeti 45 in front of me anyways.
Yeah.
And then the boat's not that wide. Like, I've got a couple of different places that I can kind of anchor my feet.
Yeah.
But even like I'm doing here in the studios, we're talking about it. It's kind of nice to be able to just move around a little bit. And if I'm turning around to reach for something back here, or I need to get over there for a fly box, it's nice to not just be in a fixed position all day. I fully support and endorse it. And I was really worried about it.
You were. In the fixed seat, I mean, I get it. You're on some river with big water, big wave trains. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, that I get the concern, but on a river like the White or a river like the rivers I guide on in eastern Oklahoma, the Illinois, the Elk, the Grand, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I love
it. It's wonderful. And I have a drift boat. My drift boat has the swivel. I got a raft. It's got the swivel.
Yep.
I use the swivel. I love it.
And again, you're an artist at what you do, but you've even created a way to drop a pin in and lock the seat if for some reason I needed to.
Yeah.
So that's really, really comfortable. The craftsmanship is second to none. The way that you've just thought through everything that we would need, from where you've got like magnets placed for my forceps and nippers to, you know, the ability to like magnetize fly boxes and cell phone cases so that they don't move around in big water. Mm-hmm. I'm just overall really, really impressed with the product that you've put out there. And there are not many things in the outdoor industry, I feel like, that genuinely impress me as being something new and never seen before. And I think you've stumbled onto something.
I think
here.
It is. I mean, I've been surprised how many people have said, I've never seen something like this. Well, you've seen it because old drift boats have a bench on them.
Yeah.
But this is different.
Very different.
And
people have been sitting on coolers
And people have
forever.
Been sitting on coolers forever. And that's,
but they've never seen it like this.
Right. My motto of the company is sitting on a cooler shouldn't be a compromise.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not with a trout boat cap and bench.
And it kind of becomes like a statement piece for your boat,
too. Yeah, I mean, I'll brag on it. They're pretty. They really look pretty on a boat.
And I took a 30-year-old drift boat that needs a lot of love and put one of these benches on it, and it looks like it's a contemporary craft because it's just got that finishing touch to it.
And it's I use quality wood with pretty grain and
a ton of epoxy coats.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing is shiny. It's cool.
Coated in epoxy, and then I use a brand called System 3 that makes really the highest quality marine coatings.
That's beautiful.
And I use System 3 epoxies and System 3 marine spar varnish, which protect the varnish protects the epoxy from the sun.
Gotcha.
And makes it really glimmer.
Gotcha. Yeah. And you lay your logos or anybody else's logos. It's really cool. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, go on social media right now or to the website. Find Trout Boat Cappin. That's TroutBoatCappin. Trout Boat Cappin. Go look at Brett Lowry and his stuff. It's super, super cool. Even if you just go to check out his logo, it's unique. We got a lot we got to get to still. We got to get in a break. Mm-hmm. Last thing, when we come back, rather, I want to ask you about Oklahoma fishing. Mm-hmm. There's some places around here that I need to take my boat, or even if I'm just going to wet wade, there's some places I need to go.
Yeah.
I want to get your opinion on that. Before we go to break, though, is the logo you?
The logo is me, but it was not meant to be me.
Okay, I want to hear that story. Yeah. We'll do that when we come back. This is the Outdoor Hour on 107.7 The Franchise.
Now back to the Outdoor Hour with your hosts Taylor Maples and Josh Stratton on 107.7 The Franchise.
Welcome back inside the Outdoor Hour, final segment this week with the great Trout Boat Cappin himself. Brett Lowry is our guest. Thanks for the swag, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a hat and I got a new hoodie here. So the logo is totally rad.
Thank you.
I love it. You were telling us a story, though, in the break about how this came to be your logo.
Yeah, I hired a guy off Fiverr in Indonesia to do my logo. And it was like, $40 for three edits. And I said, I want a guy rowing a boat on a river. And he sent me back the first edit. And it was like an Indonesian guy with no shirt on rowing a dugout canoe with a single paddle. And I was like, oh, no, that's not what I mean. I mean this. And I just sent a picture of me in my boat. And he sent it back like the next day, and it was a cartoon of that exact picture. And I was like, in my mind, I don't know about this. And I showed it to some people and my wife, and they're like, no, you got to keep that.
I love it, man.
I kept it, and I like it. I think it turned out real good.
I think it's fantastic. It's funny because I'd seen this logo several places, and I had followed you on social media long before I even realized, I'd be a customer of yours. And then when I first met you, I was like, man, I think that's him. Mm-hmm. And I'm holding it up here in front of you. Yeah. They really leaned into the 5 o'clock shadow here on the logo, which is maybe the biggest difference. But that's really, really
funny.
And
I think the picture I sent him was from a time when we were floating the Buffalo River and I hadn't showered in 3 or 4 days, and we were doing a long overnight, 4-day overnight.
That's awesome. Well, man, I'm glad to have you on the show. Thank you for the bench that you built for my boat.
Yep.
It is truly like the focal point, the conversation piece. It's a statement for my boat, and the functionality of it is something that I really desperately needed. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for that. But also just your friendship and what I've learned from you. You went above and beyond when I brought you my boat. Mm-hmm. It is a project boat, and you took care of like half of the projects that I needed to do. I got wet epoxy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I think it just shows a lot for our listeners. Maybe you're interested in exploring these kinds of products for a boat that you own. You can't find someone that's going to treat you with better customer service than I experienced with Brett at Trout Boat Cappin. From the number of photos you sent me, the other thing that we haven't talked about is you completely revitalized my oars.
Yep.
Because they were in really bad shape.
They were.
And they're almost like new now, yep. and I'll get many, many more years out of them. And I now know how to take care of them and what to do every yep. year to make sure I prolong their life. So just can't say enough positive things about the products you've built and the experiences I've had working with you.
And, you know, they're not just for rowboats. They work great as a seat on a center console boat in front of a center console. They work great on any type of bass boat. If you're going to have a pedestal on the front of your bass boat, that's a problem in a lot of bass boats is, you know, there's nowhere for the cooler. And it's just sitting somewhere. And you might as well use your cooler for a seat because that's the other big thing that was one of the main considerations is floor space is so precious in a boat. You can't waste it.
Right.
And when you have a cooler taking up, in some boats, you know, either blocking a pathway or taking up in a drift boat, a cooler is going to take up, you know, 10% of your floor space.
Yeah.
And it's, you should try to use it for something other than just a cooler if you can. You got to dual purpose things in a boat.
Yeah. I've got one new idea for you and you're welcome to run with this. We, on top of my cooler, are currently securing a booster chair
for
my two-year-old.
Yeah.
But that'd be another opportunity for a different just type of seat on top of
that. Oh, yeah. And we make those. I've made some pretty interesting stuff. I made for a friend of mine. He had a trout boat cap'n as the front seat in his raft, and he wanted a way to have both of his young kids sit on it at the same time. So we did a drop-in bench where he could take the chair out of his trout boat cap'n and then made a drop-in bench that dropped inside of the footprint of the top. And then the bench was like 50 inches wide so all of his kids could sit up on the front of it.
Cool.
And so, you know, like I said, everything's custom. And if you can dream it, I'll try to do it, and I think I can most of the time.
I bet you'll do it really well. Yeah. We've just got a few minutes left inside this week's show, and I want to ask you about some tips to go fishing closer to home. Yep. I've obviously fallen in love with the White River, mm-hmm. but I know there's a number of places that you guide around Oklahoma that I've never experienced.
Yep.
For starters, I mean, if somebody wants to go on a guided trip with you, how do they get in touch with you? What kind of information can you share? And then what am I missing by not fly fishing around Oklahoma as much as I should?
I think you're missing a lot. My guiding business is Lowry Fishing Service, and you can reach me through Trout Boat Cap'n. I kind of mix some posts from my fishing service into Trout Boat Cap'n, but I try not to do it too much. But
sure.
I use my boats also as a showcase for my products too. And so I'll say, you know, on a Lowry Fishing Service trip today and show my products. So
cool.
there's fishing around Oklahoma City. The Deep Fork has some good fishing in it. The Canadian above Overholser over here, when there's water in it, that's a lot of fun to go put in at in Yukon or in El Reno and float down to the lake, and there's good bass fishing in there. There's hybrids in there. There's white bass. A lot of people call them white bass. I call them sand bass. But and there's largemouth in there. So it's good fishing. But if you just want to be here around town, and that's an easy thing to do, to drive out to Yukon, do that 6-mile float into Overholser Lake, and it's a short shuttle. But if you get some rain in the days before and the water levels up enough, you can take a raft or a drift boat or anything through there, and it's a lot of fun. But the primary places that I'm doing guiding on are on the Illinois River out around Tahlequah, and I focus most of my trips are focused on the upper Illinois in the drift boat, fishing for smallmouth bass. And we catch other things, but fly fishing for smallmouth bass is the primary. This weekend on a trip I took,
we got a gar in the boat, we got some drum in the boat, we got some largemouth in the boat, but we're targeting smallmouth bass.
What is it about smallmouth that makes it different than trout fishing on the fly?
It's not that much different. They're just mean and aggressive fish. They're to me, I'd rather fish topwater for smallmouth than anything.
Yeah.
It's to me, it's the most fun kind of fishing that there is.
Well, I haven't done it, so we're going to have to get out.
Yeah, it's great. We can go on the upper, and there's several rivers in Oklahoma, you know, Ozark streams that run into the lakes in northeastern Oklahoma that are clear, cool, green rivers, spring fed, that are just loaded with smallmouth bass. And the Illinois is the most popular.
Okay.
And there's also sand bass trips I do in the spring. And you can catch sand bass all summer long, but sand bass trips in the spring, go in the Spring River, go in the Upper Illinois River. You can catch them in the Arkansas River. There's tributaries of the Arkansas over near Keystone Lake that are really good sand bass rivers in the spring. And sand bass is just, if you want to talk about just pure excitement fishing, there's probably not anything more where you're just going to catch probably lots and lots of fish, because they school up and they run out of the lakes when the water warms up in the spring, and they're in schools, they're running up the river. And when you get into a school, you can catch a fish on every cast, and then you go look for another school and catch a fish on every cast. And it's not uncommon to have two people in the boat, and for 5 or 6 minutes, every time they throw their fly in the water, they're catching a fish.
Wow.
And it's fun. That's it's just really fun. Cool. It's great for kids. And then also do hybrid and striper trips with my jet boat in the lower Illinois, the Grand River, and the Spring River. So,
okay.
Striper on the fly, a lot of fun. Bigger rods, hybrids, fishing for hybrids. We're fishing with 8 weights.
Cool.
7 weights, and then stripers, 9, 10 weights, and then smallmouth, 4, 5, 6.
Cool. That sounds like a blast.
Oh, it's a great time. And those rivers in eastern Oklahoma are absolutely beautiful.
If you are new to fly fishing, or maybe you haven't done it around here, or you just have questions, I can't recommend the guys over at J.D. Adams & Company enough as a starting point. Whoever you go in and talk to, they've got a ton of knowledge. I've literally seen them go to their trucks and get fly boxes to give, you know, flies from their own collection to people who are going out or lending equipment or anything like that. So check out J.D. Adams & Company on the northwest corner of 122nd and North May Avenue here in Oklahoma City. But there is a vibrant fly fishing community and world here, even in Oklahoma. Be sure you check out Brett Lowry.
And I'll say, if you want to go on a guided trip, you don't have to have equipment. I provide all the equipment. I have all TFO fly rods and Ross reels. It's good equipment, and I provide lunch, all of that stuff. So you just got to bring yourself.
You had me at lunch, man.
Yeah. So
I love that. Check out Brett Lowry, Trout Boat Cap'n on social media. Trout like trout, boat like boat, and Cap'n is C-A-P-N.
Yep.
Go check out his stuff. Check out his benches. If you have a boat, if you've got a cooler, if you've got something that you need done with some artistic craftsmanship, this is your guy. I'm so impressed with the products that I've gotten from
him. They're real good in a duck blind and a deer blind, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, and we're out of time here, but I've hunted out of the Millennium stands before. Yeah. I'm curious to know more about what you would do in a duck blind and a deer stand. So we got to have you back on the show another time.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yep.
So this is the Outdoor Hour. On behalf of Brett Lowry, Trout Boat Cap'n on social media, you can find me at T_Maples. The Outdoor Hour is available at Outdoor_Hour on social media. We missed Joshua Wildman Stratton this week, but he'll be back soon from his family vacation, hopefully with some good stories to share as well from his time outdoors. Matty Goldfish is always our trusted producer back behind the glass. This has been the Outdoor Hour. Thanks for listening. Until next time, go boldly. We'll see you outdoors.